Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So we hear John answering Jesus. You know, Jesus is standing there holding a toddler, where we pick up from last week. And this is really a good Greek translation. Yet John answered him saying, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and he isn't following us. And we tried to stop him because he was not following us." See, we only get the "not following us" once, but really in the Greek translation, the "not following us" comes twice. Following. Love that word. Follow. Follow, 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 follow. Thank you. Follow the yellow brick road. Yes. Right? From the Wizard of Oz. It's easy. Just stay on the path. Follow it. And others join Dorothy, and she's got her ruby slippers. And notice she just doesn't step onto the path wherever she's standing. She starts at that little teeny tiny point, right? And goes around and continues on the path. Seems to be so simple now, doesn't it? Ha ha ha. As she encounters things along the way. Or how about when you follow a rock and roll band? Anybody here have a favorite artist that you might follow? Yeah, so for those that would follow like Jimmy Buffett, what do they call them?
Parrotheads.
Okay, for those that would follow, the Grateful Dead, what do they call them?
Deadheads,
right. Yeah, so you know these groupies, right? So there was actually an auditor where I was working, and she was a big follower, groupie of the band that was called, I think it was Bare Naked Ladies was the name of the group. Do you know that she scheduled her audit with us whenever they were in town playing? I kid you not. So if we wanted to know when our next audit was, all we needed to do was look and see when Bare Naked Ladies was playing. In locally, and there she would show up either before or after that concert. She was a big follower. In today's technology, when you hear someone say, "I have 1,000 followers," what are they talking about? Yeah, Twitter, right? This Twitter thing. They say, "How many followers do you have? How many people are you following?" To follow someone on Twitter. Twitter is an internet platform that you can write something, type it out, click publish, and off it goes. It goes off into the world where anyone who is following you can read it. Now, anybody can read it, even if you're not following somebody. But if you click on "you want to follow somebody," every single thing that they say or they quote-unquote tweet, you will be notified of it. So whenever something new is tweeted, it will show up on your Twitter page. People are interested in what you have to say. They can click subscribe. Now, all of a sudden, if they're not interested in what you have to say, they can click unfollow. Yes, unfollow. So you can follow and unfollow anybody in any way that you want to. In Jesus' day, there was a following that went on, and it wasn't a Twitter following. It wasn't just walking with Jesus. It wasn't just listening to Jesus. There's something else that was going on with these disciples. It meant a total immersion experience. Have you ever heard that one, by the way? Right? We have these immersion experiences. What is it like day and night to be with Jesus, God incarnate, the Messiah? They ate with him, they slept with him, they prayed with him. They dedicated their lives to following, to learning. And they were expected that something in them was going to change. They would hear in a new way. They would see in a new way. They learned to be totally different. Notice, be totally different. Not for the sake of being different, but for the sake of the world. Now, for John, following meant being one of us. To be a follower meant you are one in the group that is walking with Jesus. You're part of our group, and you are part of doing it our way. And if you're not one of us, you better cease and desist. Followership, the way in which we do it. You see, John focused on the who can, who's permitted to do this act of healing in Jesus' name. Jesus isn't focused on that, is he? He's focused on what is being done in his name. John limits followership to be an exclusive group, and Jesus blows it wide open and expands it. You know, we do the same thing as followers. And I will say this is especially true of clergy. If we're not careful, we can limit. We can put boundaries around who is in and who is out. Because whether or not we realize it, we're looking for correctness. We forget that we're part of the great followership of Christians. Each and every single faith community is unique and different, yet we're all equally followers of Christ. There is no one right way. There's no one right way to speak. There's no one right way to dress. There's no one right way to look. There is no one right way to worship. There's no one right way to serve. There's no one right way to show hospitality and to welcome. There's no one right way to pray. And there's no one right way to read scripture and to confess our faith. And yet, we judge these ways of being Christian. And whether or not you're a Christian. We judge especially who's permitted to do something and who is not permitted to do something. In many circles, there's a limit on what gender, male or female, are permitted to lead, to preach, to pray, and to serve. This is really a hot button for Jesus. Then, as well as now. This is how important it is. Jesus says, don't cause one who is new to understanding who I am to lose their faith. That's what is meant by sin here. To lose their faith. Don't be the stumbling block. And Jesus feels so strongly about this subject that he speaks in that exaggerated way. Just like I was talking to the kids, right? When your parents want to make sure that you do something, they speak in an exaggerated way. That's what Jesus is doing here. If you cause one of these to stumble, if you cause one of these to lose their faith, well, it would be better for you if you hung a millstone around your neck and threw yourself in the water. It's an exaggeration, and that's how we're to understand it, as an exaggeration, like being grounded for life. And why? Because our actions with each other matter. Our words with each other matter. They matter to Jesus. Because for Jesus, hospitality and welcoming is the most important thing. Unconditional love. That hospitality and welcoming doesn't just happen when people walk through the door in here. But that hospitality and that welcoming happens when we meet people out there. Because that's where we're called to go, to meet people exactly where they are. We're called to preach the good news by living the good news. Because let me tell you something. Judgment is not good news. It's not freeing. Making someone change to conform is not good news. It's not freeing. Jesus says this. If anyone, those who are not against us, they're for us. Think about that. Those who are not against us are for us. One of my favorite things to do, and because I am a pastor, always it comes up, what do you do for a living, right? Sometimes Carl will say to me, Matt, could you just tell them that you're retired? Because one of two things usually happens, and one happens more than the other. Conversation stops. You laugh. Conversation stops. It's like, what am I, not a human being? You know, I'm not judging. I'm like everybody else. So conversation immediately will cease. The person will be like, oh, and then they're like, oh, I have to go over here. Especially if we're at a party, right? You know, I mean, my goodness, we've all networked at parties before. In my previous career, I did it all the time. You know when you're getting blown off. Other times, people will stay engaged and they'll say, especially if I'm sitting downstairs, I go downstairs a lot and I love to chat with the golfers who are down there. And they'll say, like, they can't get up and leave, right? So they'll say, well, I'm not against Jesus or anything. Have you heard that before? You're all in. That's the thing that will come. I'm not against Jesus. I mean, I'm not against God. I am against the institution. We've all heard that, haven't we? That institution that binds, that institution that says who's in and who's out. And if you don't do it this way, then forget it. You're going to rot in hell. That is what they're against. And you know what I say to that? So am I. Because the institution is not Jesus. The institution is exactly who Jesus is freeing us from. But the institution serves a purpose in keeping us all accountable, because that is the job of the institution. And when it doesn't keep us, especially clergy, accountable, we certainly know what happens. We're experiencing that today in one of our sister denominations. And so when that comes across to me, I will say, I agree with you. I don't like that institution that sets these rules. If you want to know who God is, who Jesus, who God is, look to Jesus. Because that's the God I understand. That's the God that Jesus, that's the God that God wants us to know, because we don't understand other pieces of it. So then I start to talk about grace. Grace. And how it's nothing that we do, and it's all God's gift to us. Because not any one of us is perfect, because we are not divine. Then, most likely, if they've gone through this part of the conversation with me, they will start to open up and they'll start to tell their story, who they are, the points in their life where they feel God wasn't there for them. And that's when I get to point out exactly where God was. And you can do this too. You know why? Because if you know nothing else, this is what you know. And this is the gospel, the good news in a simple, simple nutshell, as they say. God came down and took the form of a human being, put on flesh, Jesus, fully man, fully divine. God taught, walked the earth for 3 years. God was then betrayed by his followers, one of his 12. Betrayal. As soon as somebody says to you, I've been betrayed, you can point that out. God knows exactly what you're going through. God experienced that as a human being. God is present with you in that and cries with you. What happens after that? Falsely accused. God knows exactly what you're going through. How about what happens next? Sentence to death. Found guilty for something that God wasn't guilty of. Sentence to death. We all know what that feels like when emotionally we are destroyed. Does his friend stick around? No. They flee. They flee the cross, they abandon. The ones that said, I'll be there right to the end, are gone. When the going gets tough, do our friends always stick around? No. God knows what you're going through. But that's not the end of the story. So you can point out those places where God is present in their life, holding them, walking with them. And then you get to say, but that's not the end. Because you know what? Jesus didn't stay dead. Jesus closed the gates of hell and rose from the dead into new life. God knows your pain. God knows your suffering. And God brings you to new life. What a beautiful story to share with someone. And that's it. That is it. You want to be and see the presence of God in the other. Because then the healing begins. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Just because they're not one of our followers here, if someone is preaching, teaching, healing in my name, don't stop them. When a baby takes their first few steps, we know they're going to fall. And how much do we want to catch them? We do. And when they fall, we pick them back up again, don't we? We help them get up. And after a while, we let them get up themselves because their muscles are growing. Would anybody put their foot out and trip a baby? No, that's what Jesus is saying. Don't cause these children to stumble. So as a new Christian takes their first few steps, they're going to fall. It is not for us to put our foot out and trip them and say, no, that's not the right way. It's their faith journey, not ours. Instead of us doing the tripping, let us be the ones who, together with other Christians, see the presence out there. See the presence in others. Enter into their story. Share with them the story of Jesus and the good news. That's what we're called to do. So let the fellowship that Jesus speaks of begin today. Amen. Amen.